not only your scriptures, but to hear the ministry that goes on the other side of the world, a place called Poland, a place where most of us will never visit, but Dave and Mary Beth and Michaela chose to live. Father, we just want to thank you for this time and this place. You, Lord, have surely anointed it for us today. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
A blessing
to be right where God wants you to be. And this call that my wife has been talking about is not just for Poland, as she said. It's not just for us, but it's for everybody. And so the thing that I want to say to you or ask, I have many questions actually. I want to ask you today, what is your purpose? Just think about that. What is your purpose? Now, before I go there, I want to ask, does anybody remember what I spoke about last night? The main theme? Yeah, it's only 2.5 years ago. Come on. With my fellow maniac. Last time I spoke about going up to the mountain. In Genesis 19, God called his people up to the mountain so that they would meet with him. But guess what? They were afraid and they didn't go. And so, but I just want to add to that a little bit today. Not to that sermon, but really to ask you, have you been up to the mountain lately? Have you gone up to the mountain to see the face of God? Or have you become afraid? Say, oh no, if I do that, I know God wants me to do that. But if I do that, you know, what will happen? They won't like me anymore. You know, if I speak to this person about a coworker or my friend, what are they going to think of me? Are they going to get mad at me? Is it going to be my relationship with them going to be worse? Am I going to lose them as a friend? Am I going to lose my job? But have you gone up to the mountain and met with God? And so the next question the question I have is, what is your purpose? Why has God created you? And if we think about that, then we have to ask the question, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? And so we're going back and forth with these questions in our minds and our heads, and we're asking, okay, what's our purpose? Well, what was Adam and Eve? What did they do with God? Do anybody remember what they did with God in the garden? I like interaction. What's that?
They disobeyed.
Yes, they disobeyed. What did they do before they disobeyed him? They walked with him in the garden. In the cool of the evening.
Adam called each animal what they were.
Yes. But really, God created them for communion, for intimacy with him. And they walked with him in the garden. And yes, in the cool of day, and they knew him. And so, what are we called to do? What are we called to do? You know, and basically, Poland is 90% Roman Catholic. We told you last time about this. They're 90% Roman Catholic, and they believe in doing good stuff for people. But is that what God wants? You know, the last time I talked about going up to the mountain and seeing and meeting with God, and also I talked about the good stuff that we do as churches and Christian people and do, but we often miss out on the best stuff because we're too busy doing the good stuff. We get so busy doing church stuff, we get so busy, you know, helping out the poor and feeding the hungry. And don't get me wrong, because we better be doing that stuff. But sometimes we just get so busy doing that stuff, we don't have time to go up to the mountain. Okay, and so, as we're discussing this, and we're in Poland, we're trying to teach people what it means to have that intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, we are all called to have intimate relations with Jesus Christ. And so this is what we're trying to teach, and as my wife said, we're trying to be more direct about it, because, you know, we first started off in friendship evangelism, and I'll become friends with them, and I'll get to know them. But there's only one problem with that. Well, there's a few problems there. One, all of a sudden we get afraid. We get afraid that if we share with them, we'll lose a friend. Or, you know, or they might get mad at us, and what are they going to think of me now? Instead of sharing right off the bat, how many of you believe that Christ is going to return soon? Well, that's quite a few of you. That's more than half. And if that's the truth, we don't have time to make friends. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be friends with people. Dude, yeah, we should. But if we're really a friend, if we really are a friend with somebody, what do I want them to know? I want them to know Jesus Christ. And I'll give you my personal experience. I remember when I was younger, and I was a young man, and a friend of mine, he was a real good friend of mine. He knew I went to church. He knew I was a nice guy. There was something different about me that he liked, and all this. And I come home one night from working, and quite late, and I stuck. You know, I worked in a leather factory, and it stinks. And I come home, and I put my bike away, and I walk into the house, and as soon as I walk into the house, I have a phone call. It's another good friend of mine. He said, "Dave, Mark's been in an accident." And I said, "Oh, okay, where is he?" So I got back on my bike, and I went to the hospital, and I met him there. And come to find out, my friend had been out with another friend riding bikes, and he ran around the corner, and he lost control, and he slid, and his head hit a tree, and he was bleeding on the brain, and basically they said he was brain dead. And I said, "Man," and my heart was broken. And the next morning they said they were going to pull the plug, and they did. But I went home that night, and I sat there, and I said, "God, forgive me. God, forgive me." He knew I was a good person. He knew I had a relationship with Christ. He knew that I was a Christian. But I never shared the gospel with him. Where is he now? Because I didn't share the gospel. God is already working. God is already out there. He's already working on people. He just calls us to go out and find out where he's working and be part of his ministry. It doesn't matter whether it's in Poland. It doesn't matter whether it's in Irondale. You know, Washington is the most unchurched state in the country. Man, the Bible says the fields are ripe. The Word tells us. And so, here we are in Poland, I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about, okay, God, what is it you want from us? What is the best thing? What do you want us to be doing here? Because Poland, as I said, is a very religious culture. Very religious people, and has kept its morals because of that religion. We come to church on Sunday and we raise our voices to praise God. We worship Him. We speak the religious language. We know the right things to say. We prophesy in His name. We cast out demons of sickness. We do all this good stuff. But is that really what it means to be a disciple? Is that what? And God is convicting me. Am I a disciple of Christ? You know, we talk about church. Well, I got a church. I'm a Christian. I hate that word, Christian. Okay, let me ask you, what are you?
Are you a Roman Catholic Christian? Are you an Orthodox Christian? Are you a Protestant Christian? Well, what Christian are you? God didn't call you to be a Christian. He called us to be a disciple. He called us to follow Him. And we go into the scriptures and we go into Mark. Let's go to Mark real quick. No, just write these down if you got it. Because time is short and I don't want to be here all day. Or I don't want you to be here all day. I can speak all day. Matthew 4:19. What's it say? Christ invites His disciples to follow and make fishers of men. That's Matthew 4:19. Mark 1:16-20. Christ again is calling His disciples to follow and to fish. Matthew 10:5-15. Jesus sends the 12 to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Mark 6:7-13. Jesus sent out the 12 to proclaim what? The good news and to repent. Luke 9:1-6. They went out to bring good news and curing diseases. In all these cases and more, Jesus sends out the 70 in Luke 10:1-16 to cure the sick and to declare the kingdom of God. In all these cases, it's to proclaim, it's to declare the kingdom of God. That's what He's calling His disciples to. And the big one, and everybody knows it, is Matthew 28:18-20. Does anybody know it by heart? Well, I should, but just make sure that I say it right, I'll read it. Okay, Matthew 28:18-20. Okay, Jesus says, He's talking to His disciples just before He ascends, and He says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Now this is Jesus. He's telling His people. Now He's telling them to go. And guess what? The command is to go. Let me ask you a question. If your boss tells you something at work, he tells you to do something, what happens if you don't do it? Huh? You might not have a job the next day. This is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and He's commanding you, me, He's commanding us to go and make disciples wherever we are. And even further than that, He says to go to all the nations. Go to all the nations. Make disciples. Excuse me. Make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of your friends. Make disciples of your co-workers. Me and my wife, we go out and we pray before we go out and we say, "God, open up the door. Show us where you're working. Show us what's going on." So I'm taking a trip and I'm going to Gdansk, which is about a 2-hour train ride. Up to Gdansk. I'm taking one of the Syrians up there because they have other Syrian friends up there. And so we're going and I have other business to do. And we're coming back. And we're in a hurry because, well, you know, we always run late. We're in a hurry. We're trying. So I get a ticket real quick to go back. And I get on the train and it's like, "Oh no, we have to sit out in the aisles." And 3 hours sitting out in the aisles is not fun. And so we're looking to see if there's any empty spots, and we're going, and my friend that was with me, the Syrian friend, he sees one, so he goes in, and then a person could tell that I was looking for a place. And so he comes up, he opens up the door, boom, he comes up and says, "Hey, hey," he says, and
The next stop, which I didn't realize, the next stop was an hour down the road. He says, the next stop, he says, we're getting off and you can have our seats. I said, oh, that's good. And he spoke English, which is, you know, quite a few people in Poland speak English, but they have that Irish accent, right? And I'm like, oh, so what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm married to a Polish lady and her mother, her father died. He passed away and we came back for that. And so he's talking to me and I'm thinking, what an opportunity. You know, God always opens. He hands you those opportunities. We pray and we ask God to open up the doors. And so he's talking about this. And so then I asked him, I said, well, what do you think happens to us when we die? And so he goes on, he gives me this great explanation of what he thinks happens, and I said, well, let me tell you what I know happens. And so I started sharing the gospel, I shared my testimony with him, and right there, and I ended up praying for him and his son, right, because his son was listening too. And he said, well, I mean, he's just amazed. But he's going back to Ireland. So I have to keep up with it. Sometimes you're going to meet people and they're going to go in a different place or be far off. But you need to trust the Holy Spirit. And so he goes and I keep in touch with him on the internet and see how he's doing. You know, good thing for internet these days, huh? And so, but the Holy Spirit was working and he opened up that door for me to speak to him. And so then we was on a train ride back up from Kuvale, Opole. Okay, from Opole. And we're going, and we're riding on the train, and this young man with another young friend sees me with this book about discipling. And he's wondering, he said, what is this book? What is that book you said talks about disciple? And Popes, they really don't have a word for discipleship and what that means. So I'm explaining it to him, and I'm telling him about it. And all of a sudden, my daughter was looking. Because sometimes I watch YouTube videos. I watch YouTube videos and see how other people are sharing the gospel and stuff. You know, because you can always learn. And so I'm looking, and I'm seeing it. And all of a sudden, my sister says, or my little daughter says, we need to record this, Mommy. Because she sees those YouTube videos, and we need to record this. But I had a few minutes with this guy because only in less than 10 minutes, he was getting off. And so I'm talking about the disciple book, and I'm sharing my testimony, and then I really didn't get to sharing the gospel. But the thing was, is I just happened to be coming back to that town the next weekend on a retreat, and I've never really been to that town. But God knew, and he knew this guy was open, and God was working on him. And I said, hey, I'm coming back next weekend, and after my conference, can we get together? And so we got together, and I sat down with him, and I shared the gospel with him. But I asked him, I said, is this something that you'd like to know or have? And he said, I'm not sure if I'm ready yet. But that's okay. They're not always going to be ready exactly at that time. But I shared the gospel, and then we got to meet him again. And we built those relationships, and we're ready to see and ask God, where are you working so that we can join you? So this is part of our ministry is being more direct. Time is short. I mean, you guys raise your hands, and we all know time is short. We just take a look at it. And one of the things that people like to say to us, well, I just like people to see how I live. Well, you know, I told you the story about my friend. He knew how I lived. He knew I went to church. But over 54 million people die a year. Even if Christ doesn't come back next year, 54 million people die a year. Have you crossed paths with some of these people? God loves everyone. Jesus gave authority to his disciples to make disciples. The greatest love that we can have for our neighbor, for our co-worker, for our family, is to share the gospel with them. And so that's what we've been doing and going around. And one of the pictures that she showed up there was all the Syrians, about 30 Syrians were gathered together. And I was teaching them how to write their testimony in less than 2 or 3 minutes. So, because if you get more than 3 minutes, people are getting bored. Okay? They're like, okay, what do you think? And so, how to share their testimony in 3 minutes. And it's real easy. You want me to teach you in less than 5? What were you before you knew Christ? How did you come to know Christ? And who are you now? It's pretty easy. You're just telling people, you know, I'll tell you what. I'll give my testimony here real quick to you, and let's see if I can do it less than 3 minutes. I was born in an angry family, and there was a lot of fighting, and I grew up, and I was very angry myself. Excuse me. My ears getting excited. And so I was very angry myself, and I was always getting in fights. I'm not a big guy, but I'll tell you, I knew how to fight. And I was always getting in fights, and I was always winning, and I was always getting in trouble. I ran from the cops, I tried some drugs, and I did stuff like that. Finally, a friend came to me, he said, "Hey, Dave, I know how to get rid of that anger that you have." I said, "Yeah, what is that?" He goes, "Jesus Christ." I said, "What do you mean? I know about that. My mom goes to church, I go to church with her. Well, what do you mean?" And so he gave me his testimony, and he told me what Jesus Christ did to his life. And I said, "Hey, I need that." Because I knew if I didn't get that, if I didn't really see that and find that, then I was going to find that myself in jail. Whether it be by getting in fights and beating people up or speeding. You know, I was going down the highway one time at 160 miles an hour in Maine. And it's kind of scary sometimes, the highways in Maine. Not that it's a lot of traffic, it's just you don't know what might be there on the highway. I was outrunning the cops all the time. And I got into soft drugs. And I, if I didn't change my life, if I didn't find a new way, I didn't think I was going to make it. I was thinking I may find myself in jail. And so I share my testimony with people. I tell them how God came in and changed my life. And now I have hope. Do you have hope today? Guess what? Other people need it. Do you have peace that goes beyond your understanding, even when the times are tough? Guess what? Other people need it. God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves the world, not just you and me. And so, I share the gospel, and then I've learned how to share the gospel after. I said, "Is that something you would like? Would you like something?" And not everybody said yes. Some people say yes. Not everybody said yes. That's okay. Whether they say yes or no is not my responsibility. That's what God's. I'm just out there seeking people of peace. As it says in Matthew 10 and in Luke 10, it talks about the disciples going out, sending out the 12 and the 70, seeking people of peace. God's already at work out there. And the question is, can we truly call ourselves a disciple if we are not about his work? So, I come to church. I sing music. I love to worship. I go and I go during the week and I give to the poor. And, you know, if that's the case, then all Catholics are going to make it. You know, they got more NGOs all over the world doing great things, doing better things than we are. But guess what? We have the most important thing. And that is Jesus Christ.
Christ has done for us and how he's changed us. How he's kept us out of jail. How he's kept us. I'm telling you, I am surprised I am alive today. I am surprised I am living. I'll tell you another quick story of my own personal life. I got in a vehicle accident myself. I got thrown out of the back of a truck. Cracked my skull. I was bleeding on the brain. I broke my face in half all the way down. I broke my jaw on both sides. Smashed them. I broke my sternum in half. Broke my collarbones. Broke my shoulder blades. I broke them to pieces. And they went and they hauled me to one hospital. It was just a small hospital in Maine, Farmington. They said there's nothing we can do for them. So they take me to a live one in Augusta, Maine, which is the capital. And they said, we don't know if he's going to make it to my parents. And so they told my parents this, and my parents just started praying, of course. And so I'm there, and then after, 48 hours, I guess, is when they got you stabilized, finally they said, hey, it looks like he's going to make it. But he'll be in the hospital probably 4 months and do 2 years of therapy. I walked out of the hospital in 3 weeks. I was in a coma. They didn't know whether I was going to make it. I'm telling you, we don't know how long we have. 54 million people a year. We don't know how long our friend has. We don't know. If we're not about God's business, if we're not about God's task, can we call ourselves a disciple? You can call yourself a Christian. Many do. But I don't think God is worried about Christians. I think he wants disciples to follow him, to obey him, to be obedient. It says in Matthew 28, teaching them how to obey what I've taught you. This is what God is calling us to. This is your purpose as a disciple. Follow and fish. Don't wait. The time is short. We don't know when. And this is what God has put on our hearts at this time. I just want to say to you, and I want to pray before I finish. The main thing, your main purpose, is to know God and to make him known. To know him intimately. Walk in the garden with him. Spend time with him. And then make him known. If you have the best thing in the world, are you going to keep it to yourself? If you have the best thing, Jesus Christ in your heart, are you at task? Are we at task? It's not just for Poland. Not just for other parts of the world. It's for Irondale too. And there are plenty of NGOs, non-governmental organizations that feed people all around the world, that dig wells, and we do that too. There are plenty of people who do that, plenty of organizations. But you have, if you are truly a disciple of Christ, you have what people need. They need that intimate relationship. And if you don't have that intimate relationship today, then I would suggest that you tell Jesus, hey, I'm sorry, I haven't listened. I'm sorry I haven't followed you. It's amazing to me today that we think that we invited Jesus into our hearts. We invite Jesus? We don't invite Jesus. Jesus invites us. Jesus invites us into an intimate relationship with him. He said, God, I want you. I want this relationship. Forgive me for what I've done. for not listening, for not following, for not obeying. I want you to take control of my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. If you haven't made that decision, please do it today. But this is what we're doing in Poland. We're teaching the people, the Christians and the non-Christians, as they come to Christ, teaching them how to make disciples, how to be used by God to share the gospel. Let me end in prayer. God loves you. He loves everybody. I want to thank you for allowing us to come today. Because God is doing great things in and through our lives. And people's lives are being changed. But He wants that for everybody. He wants that for all of His disciples. I'm not here to try to make you feel guilty or anything like that. I just want you to make Lord, Jesus Lord of your life. Allow Him to come in, be Lord of your life. Because when we do that, He makes us hungry to share with others. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for each one here and those that didn't make it today. Lord, you sent your Son to die for every one of us. Lord, I pray for each one. You know their hurts, their concerns, their worries. You know everything that is going on in their lives. And you know whether they've been walking with you or not. Father God, I would pray that you would rain down upon us of your Holy Spirit, that you would come in a new way, that you would release yourself upon us, and that we would go out in boldness in Jesus' name and share the gospel, share the good news. Lord, in Matthew chapter 7, the church thinks they think they're all right. The church people think they're all right. Say, hey, we've done great things in your name. We've done good things. We've followed you. We've cast out demons. We've done all these good things. But then you said, get away from me. I don't know you. Father, we want to know you. Oh, if there be anything in us that is not of you, Father God, cast it out. We want to know you. Father, and I pray for this church. I pray for the people here that you would just bless them. Bless them, Father, in every aspect of their life. Show them your love through each other, through yourself, and help us, Father. Help us to be on task for you. We give you the praise and glory. We thank you. We pray this all in the power in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's what we call universal ethic. It means it is the same. It is unchanging in every culture, every time, since the dawn of time. This is the way it works. Dave, you did your little thing. Mine is confess, repent, believe, receive. Memorize those four words, and you wedge those in your brain, and no matter where you are, you can jerk those out and tell somebody, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just need to confess your sins. You need to repent of an unholy lifestyle and begin to live for Him. You need to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that God raised Him from the dead. And you need to receive the Holy Spirit. You need to receive the Holy Spirit to guide you going forward, because you will never make it without Him. There it is. That's the key to the future. Happiness and joy with God. Just do it and just do it. Let's stand together. Congregation. that you would guide each one as they go forward into this week. Lord, we just want to thank you for loving us more than we love you. We want to thank you, Father. We are confident. Yes, Lord, we are well placed. Knowing.